This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome, Rabbi Yisai. We continue in the Daf of Shavua. Today we're learning Masechta Ma'ir Katan, Daf, Yud Chesam and Beis. We start from the Mishnah. So now we're learning the subject of what could be written on Chol Moed. We know that Ksiva is considered a Malacha. There's a discussion in the Mefarshim whether writing is Aser over here because it's a Maisa Uman, because writing could be considered a professional type of Malacha. Or do we say no, even if it's Maisa Hedyot, but still on Chol Moed you're not doing any malacha, even Maisa Hedyot, unless you have a good reason. So the Mishnah says like this, Ve'elu Koisun B'mai, the following could be written on Chol Moed, Kedushei Nashim, Shtarei Kedushin, which the simple meaning is, one of the forms of marrying a woman is Shtar, and on the Shtar it says, Harei At Mekudesh Asli. So just reviewing, you know, my son is learning Masechta Kedushin this year, Rashi in the beginning of Kedushin, implies that when you marry a woman with Kedushin, you write it in the Shtar. You don't need an Amira of Harayat Mekudesh Asli. I believe others disagree. Others say even when you're Mekadesh B'Shtar, you still have to enunciate the words Harayat Mekudesh Asli. Okay, but Bir Azameh, you could write Kedushay Nashim. That's Pashup Shah in the Mishnah.
V'get. So Rashi would say that if he's a person cannot speak, he cannot marry. So Rashi is...
Stamazah, that's a Shaila. Yeah, if somebody can't... If somebody is an Elaim, someone who's mute, how could they get married? If you do it with Shtar, according to Rashi, that would be one way to get married. But for sure, Kesef and Bia require Amira. Okay. Even Bia, Rashi says, you have to say, Skad Shili B'Biazu. Fine. Kedushei Nashim, V'gitin, a divorce. Now, all of these things, we're going to see, if you don't write it now, it's going to be, it's considered an irretrievable loss. Because in an instance where you need to give a get, if you don't give the get right away, then you could lose the opportunity to be able to give a get. Vishayvarin, or receipt, meaning the a creditor wants to get paid back by the debtor, and the creditor says that if we don't write a receipt for the debtor, then he will never pay me back, and I won't be able to get him later. Daitiki, this is a last will and testament. So you want to record what the mess wants to give away. Matana, or a shtar matana. All these things, if you don't record it, it could be irretrievable loss. Upruz bulin. And a prosbul, a prosbul will allow a creditor to collect despite shmita. Igrois shum, letters of evaluation, which means that if, let's say, Bezdin needs to divide the estate of brothers, so they're going to say, okay, this brother gets the cash, this brother gets this field, and the evaluation has to be recorded. The igrois mazain, or documents of food. And let's say somebody marries a woman and this woman has a child and he accepts upon himself, I will marry you on condition that I'm going to support your child. So that kind of shtar could be written in Chol Moed, shtari chalitza. Let's say a woman, her husband died without children and now she is bound to the deceased brother, but she wants to get remarried and she did chalitza. We could record the chalitza on a shtar. Umiunim, or a shtar mion. That means that a father is allowed to marry off his underage daughter, but a brother and a mother could only marry her off midrabanan, and she has the right to protest the marriage before she becomes a gedola. So the shtar that documents the mion is allowed to be written on Chol Moed. Ushtare berurin, or shtarim of selection. In other words, if Bezin selected when they're divided a monetary dispute that Reuven's going to get X and Shimon's going to get Y, that can be recorded in a shtar. Gezeirois Bezdin, records of the court. Rashi says the edicts of the court. The igrois shel rashus, or letters of the government documents. Others, I believe the Yushalmi reads it, not Rashus, the government, but Rishus, discretionary letters. Letters of just how you doing, what's going on, where people are not careful to write it ornately or in a fancy way, but they just write it casually, that you're allowed to write on Chol Moed. But be it as it may, one of the things you're allowed to write on Chol Moed are Shtarei Kedushin. Amar Shmuel said, Mutter la'aresi shebechalosh ha'moed, even though we said you're not allowed to do nisuin on Chol Moed, because ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, you're not allowed to consummate a marriage on Chol Moed, because you have to be fully dedicated to the simcha of Yom Tif. Nevertheless, you're allowed to do the first stage of marriage on Chol Moed. Why? Shema yikadmenu acher. Because lest somebody chap the woman who you want to marry. So this concept seems to maintain that it's possible for a person to lose their, what is called their bashart, their predestined wife. Because you allow to get married in Chol Hamoed because maybe somebody else will grab her. What do you mean? How could somebody else grab your wife? No, Shmuel apparently holds, and the Gemara is going to discuss this very soon, that there's a valid concern. Says Gemara, Lema Masayele, let's bring a raya to Shmuel, that you're allowed to get married in Chol Hamoed because maybe somebody else will take her. Because the Gemara says, Ve'elu Koisvin, we're quoting a bright, the Mishnah says, Ve'elu Koisvin B'moyed, the following could be written on Chol Hamoed, Kedushei Nashim, documents to allow you to get married, meaning a shtar for Kedushin. My lav shtari Kedushin Mamish, is this not talking about where you need to write a shtar to get married? And that would support Shmuel, that you're allowed to get married on Chol Hamoed. Says Gemara, no, really, you're not allowed to get married on Chol Hamoed. And the shtar Nashim that we're talking about in the Mishnah is not a shtar of Kedushin, but rather, lo ishtari psikta, a document of allotment. When a chassan and kal get married, the parents obligate themselves to support the husband and wife. I mean, the parents of the chassan and kal agree. Okay, we'll give chves the sheitel, we'll give the daily the rent, we'll give clothing. So that's what you're allowed to write on Chol Hamoed. But you can't get married on Chol Hamoed. The Rav Gidol Amarav, the Rav Gidol Amarav, kama ata noisein lebincha. The parents of the kala say to the parents of the chassan, how much are you going to give your son? Kach v'kach, this and this amount. Kama atanoisin lebetcha, how much are you going to give to your daughter? Kach v'kach. Umdu, if they got up, v'kidshu, and they got married. Just the fact that the parents articulated that they would contribute X amount of dollars, kanu, that is a formal kinyan. Hein hein advarm ha'niknam ba'amira, these are things that are acquired through mere statement. But you are allowed to record it on Chol Hamoed because it could be an irretrievable loss. Because maybe the mechutin is going to say, "Nah, I never promised anything. I didn't say anything." Fine. So we're now discussing the shita of Shmuel, whether you're allowed to get married on Chol Hamoed because of the possibility that maybe someone else will take her. Lema Masayele, shall we say the following Mishnah or Braisa? The following Braisa supports the teaching of Shmuel. We had this earlier on. Chesamad Beis. What does it say? Ein noisin nashim b'mayinada du nesuin al chalamayid. Loi besulois v'lay amanas. Whether the woman never had relations, whether she's an amana, v'lay miyabmin, you can't do yibam. B'mneisha simcha hiloi. Because it's a simcha. But here the Braisa says, you're not allowed to do nesuin. Hala aris shari, but arisin is mutter. Says Gemara, no, loi mi boi kamar. The Braisa was stated in a fashion of not only this, but even this. Meaning it goes without saying you're not allowed to do Erisin. It goes without saying you're not allowed to do Kedushin. Now the Gemara is saying a Svara, that you know why you can't, for sure can't Kedushin, do Kedushin? Doloi ka'avin mitzvah. Because technically Kedushin is not a full mitzvah. Because the mitzvah pruravu is not fulfilled through Erisin. But Nesuin, which is already either the mitzvah pruravu itself, or very close to the mitzvah puravu, it's considered more of a full-fledged mitzvah. Ela afilu lisa nami, but even nesuin, which the ka'avid mitzvah, where you're doing a fully bona fide mitzvah, asur, even that you can't do on Chol Hamoed. So it's not that you're not doing nesuin, but erisin you could do. It's that even nesuin you can't do. You certainly can't do erisin. So now the Gemara brings a conclusive proof that you are allowed to do kedushin on Chol Hamoed. Tashma, the Tana de Bei Shmuel. Me'arsin, you're allowed to do erisin. Avaloi koinsin, you can't do nesuin. Vein oisin sudas erisin. Even though you're allowed to do kedushin, but you can't make the suda for kedushin. Veloi miyabmin, but you can't do yibam mibnesha simcha hiloi, because it's a simcha. Shma mina. So now the question is, you're allowed to do kedushin, but you can't do sudas kedushin. Are you allowed to make a vart on Chol Hamoed or a lechayim? And is that you're allowed to do? Because that's not a simcha, it's nothing. There's nothing to it. You're not doing anything. You're allowed to make a birthday party on Chol Hamoed. So you're allowed to make a... There's no halachic significance to that simcha anyway. So that's not a stira to the simcha of Yom Tov. Okay. Now, this is a very interesting part. The Gemara is going to ask on what Shmuel's reason. Shmuel said the reason you're allowed to do erisin on Chol Hamoed is because somebody else might marry her. How could you say that? Umi Amar Shmuel. That Shmuel said, Shema yikadmenu acher. That maybe somebody will advance and take this woman who you wanted to marry. Va'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, B'chol yoyim v'yoyim, every single day, bas kol yoytzeis v'aymeras, a heavenly voice goes out and cries out, bas ploini l'ploini, the daughter of ploini to ploini. Sedei ploini l'ploini, the field of ploini to ploini. So this is very interesting. First of all, we know that in most Gemaras that speak about this, for example, the Gemara in Saita and Daf Beis, it doesn't say every day heavenly voice cries out. It says 40 days before the formation of the fetus, the heavenly voice cries out. But this Gemara uses a different terminology. This Gemara says every single day a heavenly voice cries out, bas ploini to ploini. So the Mefarshim said, I believe the Marsha says elsewhere, that it starts 40 days before a person was created and it continues every single day. Now there's another interesting Marsha, and the Ben Yehoyada quotes it over here. It says, the daughter of so-and-so to so-and-so, right? In other words, the daughter of Feivel to Beryl. Why does Beryl get a name and Shprintza, the girl, we don't give her a name. Why don't we say Ploinis Leploini? Why doesn't the Bas girl cry out Ploinis Leploini? Why Bas Ploini Leploini? The answer is because since the voice cries out 40 days before the formation of the fetus, usually the guy is older than the girl. So the guy has a name, but the girl wasn't born yet. But the girl is Bas Ploini. Ploini. She doesn't have a name, but she's the... But the bottom line is, the question is, how could you say there's a gzera that maybe somebody else will take her, but a person's shidduch is predetermined? Says the Gemara, Ela Shema Yikadmenu Acher Barachamim. Maybe somebody will marry her earlier with mercy. Now, what does that mean? We're going to see what that means is ki hada Rava, like Rava, the story that happened with Rava. Shamei lahu gavra, he heard that about a person. Deboi rachame, he was praying for mercy. Va'amar, and he said, tizdamein li planisa. God, I want to marry Yenta. Please. He had his sights on Yenta. He wanted to marry a certain girl. So Rava said, "I'm really loyti by Rachamehach. Don't pray for this. If you're fit to marry Yenta, she won't leave you. You'll get her. And if you're not fit to get her, and you're going to pray to get her, kafar to Hashem, you're going to end up becoming a heretic. You're going to become an apikoros. So it's not good to marry. It's not good to daven to marry a certain woman, because if you deserve her, or if you're supposed to get her, you will. And if you're not supposed to get her, you won't. And then you'll be disappointed your prayer wasn't answered." So basar hachi. So after Rava told the guy this, shamei dekamar, he heard the guy pray like this: either I should get her, but if I don't get her, oihu lemas mikama, I should die before I see her get married to somebody else. Or she should die before she marries someone else. I mean, the guy understood that he might not get her. So he said like this: if I don't get her, I'm going to be so hurt that either I should die before she marries someone else, or she should die. So what we learn from here is, it's possible for someone to have a bashert, but you could lose the bashert. Why? Because somebody might want her, and he's going to die that she should die. He's going to daven she should die, and your bashert may die before you get her. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Meaning, like this. Nobody will ever marry someone who they're not predestined to marry. So why are you allowed to get married on Chol Hamoed? Because you need to chap her quick. Because even the person who you were supposed to marry may die because somebody might want her, and daven, she should die before someone else gets her. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. The Ran, and then Muke Yosef learned the Gemara. And by the way, Rava then said to him, "Amrle lava, minolcha, didn't I tell you, lo tiboy ala demilsachi, you shouldn't daven for this?" The other Rishonim learned the Gemara that everyone will eventually marry the person they're supposed to. You'll eventually marry your bashert, but somebody might daven that they want to marry her. Now, if they daven to marry a certain woman, and that woman is not good for them, so either they won't get her, or they'll marry her first, and it will be a disastrous marriage, and he'll have to divorce her, and then she'll marry the person she was supposed to marry. So what Shmuel is saying is, if you're allowed to get married in Chalma, you know why you're allowed to get married in Chalma? Because somebody might daven to marry her, he'll end up marrying her, it will be a disastrous marriage, and then he'll have to divorce her, and then you'll marry her. So you better marry her right away before she has to go through that ordeal, and you're going to have to marry her Bezivik Sheni. Okay. But the bottom line is, according to everyone, you'll for sure end up marrying who you are predestined. Now, interesting, according to the Mukhe Yosef, he reads the Gemara a little differently. The way Rashi reads the Gemara, Rashi says, don't daven to marry a specific woman, because if you won't get her, you'll be... Our Gemara says, kafarta b'Hashem, you'll deny God's existence. But the Mukhe Yosef takes out that little apostrophe, kafarta ba, you'll end up hating her. If you daven to marry a certain person, and she's not predestined to you, you'll end up hating her. Okay, so now the Gemara talks about the concept in general, that the person who is predestined for one to marry, this concept is mentioned in the Chumash, in the Nevi'im, and in the Ksuvim. Basar ha, okay. Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Ruvin.
You should be allowed to marry on Chol HaMoed.
Right, and you are. You are. You're allowed to do Eris on Chol HaMoed because, A, so that somebody doesn't daven that she should die, or that somebody doesn't marry her before you. Correct, so you're allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. But you can't do Nisuan, right? And you can't even do Sudas Erisin. Amar Rav Mishum Rebruvain Ben Itzdruvili. Which is an interesting name. Usually you hear that kind of name by the Georgians. No? Itzdruvili. Okay. He says like this. Min ha-Torah u-min ha-Navim u-min ha-Ksuvim Mei Hashem Ishal Ish. From the Chumash, from the Navi, from the Ksuvim is the concept that a woman is predestined to a man. Min ha-Torah, this is in the Torah, d'chsev, v'yan lovan u-besuel. Lovan and besuel spoke up, v'yemru, mei Hashem yotza ha-davar, this is emanated from God. Referring to Yitzchak marrying Rivka. Min ha-Nevi'im, d'chsev, v'aviv v'imay lo yadu k'mei Hashem hi. By Shimshon, his parents didn't realize that Delulio was predestined to him. Min ha-Ksuvim, d'chsev, bayis v'hoin nachlas avois, u-mei Hashem isha maskalas. A house and money is the inheritance from parents, but only from God comes a wise woman. Va'amar, now next, this is the final sugya before the Mishnah. This sugya is going to talk about suspicions. That if you hear suspicions about somebody, they're definitely true on some level, unless the Gemara is going to qualify when they're not true. Va'amar Rav, Mishum Rav Ruvain, Ben Itzdru Vili. Va'amri La B'masni Satana. Some say this was taught directly in a Braisa. Amar Rav Ruvain, Ben Itzdru Vili. Ein Adam Nechshad B'davar. A person will never be suspected of something. Elam kein asoy, unless they actually did it first. Meaning if you hear suspicions, it's true. V'yim lo yasa kula, if the person didn't do the whole thing, asa miktsasai, he did part of it. V'yim lo yasa miktsasai, if he didn't do part of it, hir her belibai, he thought about doing it. Hir her belibai lasas. V'yim lo yir belibai, and even if he didn't think, alasai say, ra'achirim shasai, saw others who did it, v'samach, and he was happy that someone else did it. So therefore, if they suspected him, he's also guilty in some level. So Gemara asks, is that true? But we know in Malachim, the Jewish people suspected God of something. Mas Rabbi Yaakov, Vayechapu b'nei Yisrael dvarim asher lo yichein al Hashem lekeim. They imputed, the b'nei Yisrael imputed words that were not so about God. And we know it was totally fabricated. So how could you say that every suspicion is true? They had suspicions on God. So God says, no, hasam lahaches hu da'avid. They did it to get God angry. They knew it was false, that they tried to instigate against God. So Gemara says, but we know they suspected Moshe Rabbeinu. Tashma, vayikanu l'moshe b'machaneh. Literally, they were jealous. This is a pasuk in Tehillim that describes the Ma'isa Koirach. They were jealous about Moshe in the camp. La'aron kadosh Hashem, about Aaron, the Holy One of God. But this could also be read, not that they were jealous. They warned their wives not to go in seclusion with Moshe. Because they say, we're suspecting that you're committing adultery with Moshe Rabbeinu. So how could you say that? How could you say that all suspicions are true? Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Melamed, from here we see, Shekol Echad Kinei Le'ishtai Mimoshe, that everybody warned their wife against Moshe Rabbeinu. Now obviously it wasn't true. I saw a very interesting thing in one of the Mefarshim, that I believe the Imre Tzvi, that why would the Jews do that? They were very angry at Moshe. They were upset at themselves, because by the Chet HaEgel, when the husband came home, okay, Shprinzi, donate jewels to the Egel. So the women didn't want to donate anything. A few weeks later, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. Moshe says, okay, everyone, let's donate to the Mishkan, and all the women were donating. So the husbands got fed up. They say, to us you don't listen. To Moshe Rabbeinu you listen. They felt Moshe Rabbeinu had too much control over the women. So to get back at him, to abolish his control over the women, they warned their wives, we don't want to see you going anywhere near Moshe Rabbeinu. So they did it to... they felt bad. They felt like lowly about their standing. Anyway, so Gemara says, no, there it was not true. Hasamisham sinahu David. There they did it out of hatred. So when there's a hate, when there's a motivation of hatred, then the suspicion is could be completely unfounded. Tashma, Amar Rabbi Yosi said, Yehi chelki imi shechoshden oisa bedavar. Let my share in the world to come be among those who they were suspected of crimes and ve'invoy, and they weren't true. Because it's mechaper for a person's averus if you're suspected of something. Va'amara Papa said, Ledidi chajdoin ve'lehavabi. I was also suspected of something, and it wasn't the case. So the interesting discussion in the Achreinim, what was Rav Papa suspected of? The Marshal says that there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that Rav Papa was going up a ladder, and the ladder was about to cave in. And Rav Papa says, why is this happening to me? So the Amora that was with him says, maybe one time you didn't give tzedakah. And Rav Papa, so the Rav Papa is referring to that episode, that he was suspected of not giving tzedakah, but it's not even true that he did give tzedakah. There's another story, I think in Psachim, where a woman set Rav Papa up. A woman said to Rav Papa, sit on this bed. Rav Papa sat on the bed, and there was a dead kid on the bed, and the woman came running back, oh, you killed my kid. Now, that also wasn't true, but be it as it may, the Gemara brings two rayas, that it could happen that someone is suspected of something that's not true. Says the Gemara, loy kasha, ha bekala de pasuk, ha bekala de loy pasuk. If it's a rumor that starts and stops, then it could be unfounded. But a rumor that's consistent, that never stops, that's always based on something. Says the Gemara, "V'kala doy pasuk akama." What's considered a rumor that doesn't stop? That we take it seriously? That it must be the suspicions are true on some level. Amar Abaye, Amrali Aim, my mother who raised me, because Abaye was an orphan, so he was raised by his stepmother. So that stepmother told me, "Dumi demasa, the suspicions of a city yaimo paga are a day and a half." Says the Gemara, and even this that we say that a rumor that lasts for a day and a half is true on some level. V'hanimil doy pasuk beni ubeni. That's if it's incessant for a day and a half and there's no interruption at all. Av pasak beni beni, but if it stops even temporarily, even momentarily during that day and a half, less lenba, then it could be the rumor is completely unfounded. And v'chi pasak beni beni, and if it does stop, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not true. If it stopped because the people were afraid to continue, that's only if it didn't stop out of fear. If it stopped out of fear, then we don't necessarily say that it's not true. Also, even if it stopped, where we say it might not be true, that's only if it doesn't spring up again in full force. If it springs up again in full force, then it's... then we know the rumor must be founded in some way. Loi, v'loi amrin eladulaslei oivim. And this that we say that the rumor must be true on some level. That's only if the guy doesn't have enemies. But anyone who has enemies, then could be the rumor is totally made up. Like we said earlier, it could be somebody spread it out of sinah. Aval islei oivim. Someone has enemies. Oivim hu daafku lekayla. It was the enemies, perhaps, who spread the sound. Okay. So Be'ezus Hashem, we will pick it up by the Mishnah next time.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.